Chapter 4. "So," Aunt Charlotte said, eyeing Jamie from her seat at the head of her fancy wooden table. "What's new with you?" Jamie shrugged. She had hoped Aunt Charlotte would just ignore her for the entire meal. So far, it had worked. Jamie had quietly smeared the goopy vegetable lasagna around her plate, pretending to eat it just to be polite. "That's all organic vegetables. Mushrooms, eggplant, and squash," Aunt Charlotte boasted several times since they sat down. "I know you probably don't get good produce where you live, so I figured I'd get some for you." Darcy had thanked her, but Jamie fumed as she stared at the mushy mixture. "It's not like we live that far away from you," she wanted to say. "Why do you always act like you're better than us? Besides," she almost said out loud, "it may be organic or whatever, but it's still nasty." Every time Jamie visited Aunt Charlotte, it was the same. Food that made her want to gag, and comments that made her want to scream. It was as if everything her aunt said had an edge to it, like each word was an invisible knife aimed at Jamie and her family. While they were never direct, Aunt Charlotte's comments were full of jabs about Dad's job, or Mom's tired face, or their neighborhood being an unfit place to raise a baby. The last time Jamie visited, she couldn't hold her thoughts back. Instead, she accused her aunt of being selfish and mean. That's when Aunt Charlotte told her to get out and never to come back. Jamie was fine with the idea, but then Aunt Charlotte called last week and invited them over. Maybe she realized that with Grandma gone, they were the only family she had left in the world. Or maybe it was something else. Jamie couldn't help but wonder what Aunt Charlotte really wanted. "Jamie?" Mom's voice was full of warning, breaking her thoughts. "Aunt Charlotte just asked you a question." Jamie sat up in her chair, trying her best to stay calm. "Nothing really. I just started at Blueford. I'm still getting used to it. New teachers and classes, you know. It's really different from middle school." "Yes, it's very different from middle school. And I hope you're going to treat it differently, too, like Darcy." Anger churned in Jamie's stomach, but she pressed her lips together and said nothing. "Don't worry, Charlotte. Jamie knows what she's got to do," Mom said icily. Aunt Charlotte put a fork full of lasagna into her mouth, and for a second, an awkward silence filled the room. "Well, I hope so. I'd like to see her go to college one day, too, you know. That's what this is all about, right?" Again, silence filled the room. Jamie felt like dumping her plate of lasagna on the beige carpeted floor and walking home. Instead, she took a sip of water from the oversized glass and tried to hide that her hand was shaking with anger. Dad seemed to notice because he put his hand gently on her back as if it would steady her somehow.
"Jamie'll get there when she's ready. I have no doubt of that," Dad said.
Aunt Charlotte ignored his comment. She stood up suddenly as if the dinner had reached a point she had been expecting. "Well, I was going to wait until after dessert, but since we're talking about college, I think now is as good a time as any to make this announcement." She beamed from the head of the table, stopping for a second to smile at Darcy. "I've bought you all something. A gift, I guess." She disappeared into the kitchen and returned a few seconds later with a big box topped with a red bow. She plopped it on Darcy's lap. "Go on, open it," she urged, not once looking at Jamie. Darcy glanced at her parents and then pulled the ribbon carefully, loosening the paper as if the contents were delicate. Jamie wished Aunt Charlotte had given her the box to open. She would have torn through it in seconds. When the paper was finally gone, Jamie saw the picture on the box. Could it be? No. People reuse boxes, she told herself. Would Aunt Charlotte be that generous? Darcy opened the cardboard. "Oh, Aunt Charlotte," she cried, lifting a brand new laptop computer out of the box. "Are you serious? A computer?" Jamie couldn't believe it either. "Of course I'm serious, and it's for you, Darcy," Aunt Charlotte said with a wide grin. "For all of you, really, but I figured it might help now that Darcy is getting ready for college."
These days, a student who doesn't have regular access to the internet can't compete. And I figured, Maddie, you could research the latest on childcare. Carl, maybe you could take some online classes so you could find a better job or something. Her father blinked. His mouth stretched into a tight, forced smile, but he said nothing. And Jamie, well, maybe when you're serious, it'll help you improve your grades, too, she added as if she only half believed what she was saying. You can keep your stupid computer and your nasty lasagna. Jamie almost yelled the words right there at the table. Mom must have noticed because she flashed Jamie a glare that froze her in her seat. Instead, Jamie pushed her plate away and leaned over the table to look at the silvery screen sitting on Darcy's lap. Jamie had wanted a computer for a long time, but not as a gift from Aunt Charlotte. She would rather use the computers at school or the library or her friend Alicia Roble's house than give her aunt another reason to act as if she was better than them. "I don't know what to say," Mom began. "Charlotte, this is very generous of you, but we can't accept this." "Maddie?" Aunt Charlotte's voice grew sharp. "Don't you even think of letting that misplaced pride of yours get in the way. These girls need a computer, and I'm giving it to them, and that's that." Mom glanced at Dad. She looked as if she wanted him to decide, as if she already had too much to think about. "Give it back," Jamie nearly yelled out. "We don't need no handouts from her." But Darcy was busy touching the keys as if they were precious. "Tell her, Carl," Aunt Charlotte said. "You know this is good for your girls." Dad didn't move. For a second, Jamie thought he was going to refuse the computer, but then he looked at Darcy and sighed. "Thank you, Charlotte," he said finally, as if admitting defeat. "We've wanted to get the girls a computer for a while now, but with bills and the baby coming..." He shook his head. "We really could use this."
"Good. So it's settled then." Aunt Charlotte smiled as if she had won an argument. "The software's loaded already. All you need is an internet connection."
"We'll take care of that, Charlotte. It's very generous, thank you," Mom said.
Aunt Charlotte folded her arms across her chest. "Go on, turn it on, Darcy. You can plug it into the living room outlet. You should have no trouble getting online."
Darcy dashed away from the dinner table, and Jamie followed just to get away from her aunt. Within minutes, the computer was connected.
"Check out Spacebook or MyFace," Jamie suggested, "or go to YouTube."
Anything was better than just sitting in her aunt's stuffy living room.
"In a minute, Jamie," Darcy said.
She sat in front of the screen and started typing. "There's something I want to check out first." Mom sat down on the sofa beside Darcy, and Aunt Charlotte hovered over Darcy's shoulder while she typed. A few moments later, the website for UCLA popped up.
"It's very competitive," Aunt Charlotte said, "but they have some amazing scholarship programs. With your grades, you have a decent shot, but you'll need good SAT scores, too."
Aunt Charlotte wedged herself onto the sofa beside Darcy, nudging Jamie out of the way as she spoke.
"I know. I've been studying for weeks," Darcy said.
Aunt Charlotte nodded.
"Excellent. Keep at it. If you can do well on that test and hold your grades, I think you'll qualify."
"You really think so, Charlotte?" Mom sounded both nervous and excited at the same time.
"Absolutely. Who wouldn't want a student like Darcy in their school?" Aunt Charlotte asked.
Then they all started talking about colleges. The computer screen filled with images of schools and programs and financial aid forms.
"She's still got 2 years," Jamie wanted to say, but it didn't matter.
Jamie never even got to touch the keyboard. For the rest of the evening, she sat in a chair at the corner of the room while Aunt Charlotte and her parents talked about Darcy's future.
"Jamie, do you have something for me?"
Mrs. Gessner stretched out her hand. Jamie had tried all morning to think of an excuse for her teacher. The truth was, she couldn't bring herself to show her parents the test, not after the way Mom scolded her about cheerleading, not after the dinner with Aunt Charlotte.
"I'm sorry, I forgot it, Miss Gessner. I left it on the kitchen counter at home. My mom signed it, but I was in a rush this morning and I didn't put it in my backpack."
It was partly true, at least. She did forget it, and she was late this morning, but Mrs. Gessner didn't seem convinced.
You didn't show up for after-school help yesterday, either, she said sternly.
I know, but I told you it's cheerleading tryouts.
Mrs. Gessner opened her mouth, and Jamie knew she was going to repeat what she had said the day before about cheering and good grades. She didn't want to hear it.
But I got my sister to help me with it when I got home, she added quickly.
Mrs. Gessner's mouth closed, and her expression changed.
Well, she said at last, I'm glad to hear that. As I told you yesterday, it's very important that...
She kept talking, and Jamie tried to listen. But as her teacher's voice droned on, Jamie kept imagining Friday and how good it would feel to look up at the bulletin board and see her name as one of the new cheerleaders. Now was the time to focus on making the squad, she figured. She could deal with her algebra grades later.
Jamie, are you listening?
Mrs. Gessner's sharp voice focused her back in the moment.
Yes, ma'am,
she said quickly, even though she had no idea what the woman had just said.
Bring in that signature.
If you don't, I'm going to have to call your parents.
I'll bring it in tomorrow, Jamie said, nodding. I promise.
And I'll see you after school today?
Jamie hesitated. Yeah, sure.
Mrs. Gessner's face said she didn't believe her, but the students in her next class were already coming in.
Go, she said, waving her hand. I'll see you this afternoon. Can I sit with you, Jamie?
Angel stood over her with her lunch tray in her hand. Jamie was surprised, but she tried to hide it. She hadn't seen Angel in the cafeteria before.
Sure, she said. I didn't know we had the same lunch period.
Where do you usually sit? Jamie asked.
Oh, wherever,
Angel said, nervously looking at her plate in a way that told Jamie not to push the subject.
Well, have a seat,
Jamie said, glancing at Angel's wide-rimmed glasses and noticing how they seemed a bit too big for her face.
I can't believe I never noticed you in here before. I would have asked you to sit here if I'd seen you.
Yeah, well, this is a big school, Angel said, almost sadly.
It's easy to disappear in here, not like my old school.
Where'd you go before?
Mary Bethune Academy.
Mary Bethune Academy? Jamie asked. She had never heard the name. What's that?
It's a charter school on the other side of town. Girls only.
Girls only? For real? I don't think I'd survive in a place like that, she said with a laugh. Seriously, wasn't it weird? Going to a school with no boys?
Angel shrugged. It was okay. You get used to it. Actually, I kind of miss it now,
she admitted, gently forking some spaghetti into her mouth.
Why did you leave?
Angel pushed her glasses back up her nose and turned the spaghetti noodles on her plate.
My parents split up,
she said simply, and filled her mouth with food, her eyes never meeting Jamie's.
Me, my sister, and my mom moved out this summer. She started working at Essential Salon, and now I go to Blueford.
Her voice sounded slightly higher than before, as if the words were painful to say. Jamie remembered how hard it was when Dad left and their family was shattered. She wondered if Angel was feeling the same way, but she didn't want to ask her. She had known her for only a day.
Did you used to cheer at your old school? Jamie asked instead.
Angel shook her head.
No, we didn't have cheerleading, but we did have a step team. I was an alternate last year. I might have made the team this year if things had been different.
She sounded suddenly sad. Jamie tried to change the subject.
Is that where you learned to chant out the steps?
Angel looked confused.
You know, Jamie explained. Right, right, left, kick, slap, clap, stomp.
Oh, you heard that? Angel laughed.
Yeah, that's how they taught the routines there. Sorry if it bothered you.
No. Jamie shook her head. It kind of helped me.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
A voice rang out behind them. Jamie turned to see Vanessa. She stood over Angel's shoulder with Kim and Renita on either side of her. Each of them held a tray with plates half full of spaghetti. For an instant, Jamie wondered if they were going to dump them on Angel.
So you two are eating lunch together now?
Kim asked as if she were disgusted.
So what, Kim?
Jamie asked. The older girl rolled her eyes.
We join you, but our friends are sitting over there, Vanessa tossed her hair toward a table full of girls dressed in jeans and tight t-shirts. As soon as Jamie and Angel looked in their direction, the table erupted in laughter. Jamie had no idea what they were saying, but she knew it was mean. Angel knew it too. Jamie noticed that Angel seemed to shrink inside herself. She looked as nervous and scared as when Jamie had seen her for the first time.
"You all ready for today?" Jamie asked, trying to change the subject.
"We're ready. I think the bigger question is, are you ready?"
"What you think, Angel? You gonna show us some more of them foot-stomping moves from yesterday?" Vanessa asked.
"No, she's gonna be like, 'I'm ready, coach,'" yelled Kim, blaring out the last few words in a mock imitation of Angel's voice from the day before.
Kim and Renita burst out laughing as Angel's face sank. Jamie thought the skinny girl was about to cry, but instead, she stood up and gathered her tray.
"See you, Jamie," Angel said softly, and walked away.
Jamie stood up and watched her go, feeling guilty as Angel rushed out the cafeteria door.
"See you in a few hours, Angel,"
Vanessa added sweetly, though her voice meant the opposite.
"What did you do that for, Vanessa?"
Jamie asked, staring hard into the older girl's heavily made-up face.
"Relax, girl. We were just playing with her, that's all," Vanessa replied innocently.
"Why are you sounding like Darcy all of a sudden?" she asked, shaking her hair.
"What do you mean?"
"Look, Jamie, everyone knows Darcy is all into school and whatever," Vanessa said as if what she described was beneath her.
"But I always heard you were different. The kind of girl who knows how to hang. You're not like Darcy who stays inside and skips parties to do her homework."
"You're for real. Hooking up with Bobby Wallace and all last year? That's serious."
It sounded to Jamie as if Vanessa was insulting her and complimenting her at the same time.
"What do you know about me and Bobby Wallace? And my sister?"
Vanessa just laughed.
"Come on, girl, wake up. You're in high school now. Everybody knows about you and Bobby Wallace and that whole running away thing and how you hooked up with Dez on the 4th of July."
"Yeah, I heard she was making her own fireworks with Dez that night," added Kim.
"See?" Vanessa asked with a wicked smile. "Girl, you got a serious reputation for a freshman. That's nothing like your sister. I mean, I heard she barely let Hakeem Randall hold her hand, right?"
She chuckled a little as she glanced at her friends.
"What are you trying to say?" Jamie asked, suddenly protective of her sister.
Vanessa shook her head as if Jamie had asked her a stupid question.
"I'm saying, don't act like you're all perfect, Jamie. You ain't no better than the rest of us.
Maybe you're even a little worse."
Ring.
The bell announcing the end of the lunch period blasted overhead. Vanessa and her friends turned away and headed toward the door.
"See you at tryouts,"
Vanessa added. Her voice almost sounded friendly, but Jamie knew not to trust it. For the rest of the day, Jamie couldn't quite shake what Vanessa had said at lunch. It was bad enough the way she had treated Angel, but Vanessa seemed to be doing something else too.
"What does she mean about me?" Jamie asked herself. "What was she trying to say?"
Jamie wasn't sure. Nothing Vanessa said was a lie. She had kissed Dez at the 4th of July cookout last summer, and she had gone out with Bobby Wallace last year. But Vanessa made it all seem worse. Did Jamie really have a reputation at Bluford? Was it as bad as Vanessa said it was? While she didn't want to be like Darcy, she didn't want to be what Vanessa suggested either.
"Hey, Jamie,"
Dez yelled from across the hallway at the end of the day. Jamie was heading to tryouts when he walked up beside her, dropped his heavy arm on her shoulder, and leaned in for a kiss. Jamie turned her head just in time, so his lips pressed against her cheek.
"What's the matter?"
Dez asked. He looked hurt and surprised at the same time.
"Nothing. I just..."
She shrugged, shifting away from him slightly.
"Everyone's looking at us."
Dez glanced over his shoulder. The hall was almost empty. The few students near them were rushing to their lockers or darting into classrooms. Jamie realized that no one seemed to be looking at them, but she still felt they were.
"Since when did you care about that?"
Jamie looked up at Dez.
He was taller than most of the freshman boys and not bad-looking, with dark brown skin, deep brown eyes, and white teeth. Jamie knew most girls thought he was handsome, but with Vanessa's words still in her mind, she didn't feel lucky to be his girl right now. "I'm late for cheerleading, okay?" She started walking more quickly. Unsettled by Vanessa's comments, Jamie realized that she had forgotten to take the back hall toward the locker room. Instead, she was near the front of the school and would pass Mrs. Gessner's classroom. She knew she could turn around, but that would make her late, and she would have to explain it all to Dez. Instead, she hoped she could rush past Mrs. Gessner's classroom without the algebra teacher seeing her. "I'm sorry. I guess I'm just nervous," she said. It was true, but Jamie knew that wasn't the only thing she was thinking. Vanessa had made her feel strange about Dez in ways she couldn't explain to him, at least not now. Dez rolled his eyes at her comment.
"Nervous? Come on, Jamie. You know you're gonna make it. At least I know you are. And after you're done, we're going to the park, right?"
Jamie sighed. She didn't feel like hanging out, but she couldn't think of an excuse.
"Okay," she agreed,
"but just for a little while." Dez gave her a bright smile and leaned down to kiss her again. Jamie let him peck her once on the lips, then pulled away.
"Jamie," Dez asked, looking puzzled, "what's up?"
"You got a serious reputation for a freshman." Vanessa's words taunted her.
"Nothing. I just have to go," Jamie said.
Now wasn't the time to talk to Dez about all that.
"See you at the park."
She walked quickly down the hall, scuttling past Mrs. Gessner's room. She thought she was safe until she looked back over her shoulder. Mrs. Gessner had just stepped into the hallway. Her eyes locked on Jamie's, but instead of calling her into the classroom, the teacher just shook her head and closed the door. The locker room was quieter than yesterday. Jamie could feel the tension in the air. It was as if the reality of how much they all had to learn and remember had settled over everyone. Jamie looked around. There weren't as many girls either. Some had already dropped out. Amberlynn smiled when Jamie eased past her, but kept her focus on tightly tying her shoelaces. Jamie didn't feel like talking anyway. Her mind was swirling with thoughts about Vanessa and Angel, about what she wanted to say to Dez when they were finally alone, about the way Mrs. Gessner shook her head as if Jamie was a lost cause, about home and how she felt increasingly like an outsider there.
"Stop it! Come on, give it back!"
The cries interrupted Jamie's thoughts. Something was happening in the next row of lockers. The girls involved were hidden from view, but Jamie thought she recognized the voices.
"What's that all about?"
Amberlynn murmured, crinkling her brow.
"Stop it! Stop it!"
the girl in the next row yelled again. Jamie put on her shorts and hurried to see what was going on. Angel stood in between the two rows of lockers, wearing her jeans and her sports bra, while her t-shirt flew in the air between Renita and Vanessa. Tasha held her little pink phone upward, following the action like the director of a movie. Kim and a few of the other girls cheered their game of monkey in the middle with smiles on their faces.
"Just give it back!"
Angel hollered as her top flew out of reach. She looked as if she was about to cry.
"It's not like she even needs it," Renita said. "She's so skinny and flat. She almost looks like a boy."
"Yeah, you sure you're in the right place, Angel?"
Kim asked.
"This is the girls' locker room?"
All four girls cackled loudly. Jamie couldn't stand it.
"Leave her alone,"
she yelled, stepping into the crowd of girls, making sure Angel was safe behind her.
"Give her back her shirt."
For an instant, the back of the locker room went silent. Yet for some reason, Vanessa smiled as if she expected Jamie to get upset.
"Girl, you need to chill. We were just playing, that's all. Why you gotta go making a big deal out of everything?"
Vanessa spoke as if Jamie had done something wrong. She then grabbed the t-shirt from Kim.
"Here," she said, tossing it to Angel. "You know we were just playing, right, Angel?"
Angel stared at Vanessa. Jamie could see she was intimidated.
"Yeah," Angel mumbled, "I guess so."
Jamie could barely hear her voice.
See? Vanessa said, flashing Jamie a smirk. She then whispered something to Tasha and walked away.
Are you okay? Jamie asked.
She wondered how Angel would be able to handle tryouts after what just happened. Angel nodded and wiped her eyes.
I don't know why they keep messing with me. I didn't do anything except go to my locker, she said.
Come on, girl, don't worry about them right now, Jamie said, putting her arm around Angel's shoulder. You gotta get dressed. Coach Seville will be blowing that whistle in a few minutes. Angel nodded, gathered up her clothes, and quickly got changed. Nearby, Tasha buried her cell phone deep in her locker as if it contained a priceless treasure. Then she rushed off without a word.